Warriors beat writer.
He's the like
and the best.
He's the best. He has something on Harrison Barnes where Harrison Barnes like took him to, took Marcus to go see Marcus's neighborhood where he grew up in Oakland, and it's perfect. It's great, great feature writing. He's awesome. The best.
All right, well, we've got Marcus on the air, so I think he's been hearing us say nice things about him.
Hopefully.
Marcus, are you there?
I'm listening to Warren G and Nate Dogg.
It's the only way to bring you on.
Right? I don't know. I could use some Oakland music, some Loonies. I got 5 on it.
Sure.
Always works.
But. Sure.
But you can't go wrong with Nate Dogg.
No, you can't go wrong with Nate Dogg.
I mean, they're having a free concert here. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I know you got so game one to deal with tomorrow, but if you want to make it to Salt Lake City by tonight for a free Warren G concert, we got you.
Man, that is very enticing.
All right, so Marcus, tell me about where the Warriors are right now, kind of emotionally after a tough seven-game series. Obviously, incredibly physically taxing. Where are they mentally coming into as they face the Cleveland Cavaliers, a team that they beat last year? Where are they?
I think they're in a state of invincibility. I think they feel like, man, we just overcame, you know, the relative impossible. Like, you know, I think they feel more now than they ever have that they are unstoppable and that they can't be beaten, because if there was any situation they were supposed to go down, that was it. The toughest team they're going to face, down 3-1, having to win an impossible road game. And never really playing well, and they still won. So I think this is I think Cleveland is getting a team that is like tired but peaking in, as far as confidence.
Well, with what they did, I mean, it seemed like, and you get a lot of lip service from players and teams around the league when they're in tough situations, but it really did seem like any time adversity has been thrown at them this season, and it hasn't been a ton because they've won so much, that they really do revel in it. Like when they lost to the Blazers, they were kind of just like, hey, like we're excited for this. Now we get to, you know, kind of refocus and go after this. When they're down 3-1, they're still very confident that they were going to come back and at least force a game 7 and then have a chance, right? So if anything, if they go down to the Cavaliers early in this finals, like they're not going to be rattled, right?
That's the odd part about this team, right? They almost need that in some senses, right? They need to have their back against the wall, because they're at their best when they put themselves in position to be doubted. Like, you know, it's almost like, hey, everybody knows the Warriors are going to win. That's too easy for them. They need you to say, oh, they're not going to win. They're done. Here's where they are, in order to tap into that extra reserve they have. And then all of a sudden they become this stellar team. Even San Antonio, remember, everybody thought, oh, they haven't played anybody, now they're going to play San Antonio and watch what happens. Then they won by 30.
Right.
So they have that level. So if you're the other team, this is a tough spot, because, I mean, what else can you do but get them down? And then you have to be ready for when you get them down, okay, now we're going to get their best. But it usually takes the other team's best just to put them in a situation where they feel threatened.
I thought it was fascinating Draymond played the nobody believed in us card after game 7, right? Like, you just won 73 games more than any other team in regular season history, and you're saying that nobody believed in them? No one was saying that they didn't believe in the Warriors anymore. I mean, it's an incredible, like, mind erasure sort of thing, where you have to put yourself into this sort of framework in order to be the best athlete they could be.
All Draymond needs is one Twitter follower, right? That's all he needs, is somebody to say, you guys are going to lose, right? And Zach, as you know this very well, there will be no shortage of Cleveland fans letting Warriors fans hear it. So the nobody believed in us mantra will continue, because they're going to hear is from Cleveland Cavaliers fans saying, Now we have our full team. Watch what we do, you guys. We're going to win. And forget all the other people who are going to predict the Warriors, right? Forget all the other people who are saying it was Warriors in 5. They're only going to listen to those Cavs fans. And so then after, you know, when they get to the point where they're down again, They're going to say nobody believed in us because it was some dude on Twitter.
Yeah, he's just going to go through all these Cavs blogs. Right. And find one Cavs blogger that says, like, Cavs in seven, and he'll use that as motivation. We were kicking around this idea.
The world.
Yeah, exactly. We were kicking around this idea earlier of whether or not Steve Kerr should start Andre Iguodala because of the LeBron James matchup. I kind of wondered, is it smart to go against what you've done all season in order to do this, or do you just kind of wait for the Cavs to put you in a position to adjust?
I would wait primarily because, man, Iguodala has logged some minutes. And last time they did this, like, it was the last series, right? This was it. There wasn't anything to look forward to. So they had to pull out their stop in the Western Conference Finals. Now they still have potentially seven more games. So I would, in order to preserve him, so if you do need him for that 5, 6, 7 to start, I would save him. And also, I would make LeBron, like, we've seen him not make outside shots.
Right.
So it's not like this is a LeBron clicking. I'm saying, Harrison, you guard him and just, you know, force him to take clog the paint and make LeBron beat you taking outside shots. Then if he does that, now you sick Iguodala on him. But, I mean, he had 43 minutes, 36 minutes. Like, that's a lot. They had set a previous limit of him for 30 minutes when Steph was out. That was the cap. And so now Steph is back. And he was still playing 30, 36 minutes, 43 minutes. So wow. I just feel like they need to preserve him. And for that reason, I wouldn't start him.
With Draymond Green, he had a up and down series, I think it's fair to say. Definitely some downs there in Game 3 and Game 4. Do you think he'll be back kind of at 100% Draymond Green affecting the game on both ends of the court that we saw throughout the regular season?
If Kevin Love plays a lot, absolutely.
Okay.
I don't think Draymond was down just because he was down, right? I think he was down because Kevin Durant played the defense of his life, because Serge Ibaka is, you know, even though he seems to be losing his athleticism, is still a really good defender. And I think the Thunder's athleticism and quickness and length actually bothered Draymond, and he had to kind of figure that out. So I don't know. I know Tristan Thompson gave him problems last year, and he had to figure it out. So if the Cavs go with Kevin Love, I don't think there's going to be much to figure out. It's going to be right in Draymond's wheelhouse. 1-4 pick and roll with Steph, and they're going to make Kevin Love work on defense. If they play Tristan, if they get those long athletic guys, or I guess they have like two of those guys, if they get those in there against Draymond, that's, for me, where he has his greatest struggles, and you have to figure it out. But I don't think the way the Cavs have played to this point, I don't think they have those guys. I mean, Tristan is playing some, but he's playing 5, and he's not playing much 4. If Kevin Love is on the court, then that's where Draymond is going to be, and I think that's going to work to his advantage.
Where do you think Steph is in terms of just being back to Steph? Like, he looked great in second half of Game 7. He was, you know, he hit some phenomenal shots, had those Steph moments. I think throughout, whether they were winning or losing in the conference finals, there were questions about whether or not he had his quickness back. Do you think he's going to be as good as possible heading into the finals?
I think he'll be the same. I still think his knee is the issue. I just don't think that was the reason he was shooting poorly.
Right.
You still see him not able to get around the bigs, right? Like, some of that was because Billy Donovan expertly told his bigs to get a sneaky hand check in there. But we've seen Curry turn that into drives a lot. And against Oklahoma City, it was either get the 3 or give the ball up. I do think Westbrook's laugh and being down 3-1, like, helped Steph shift it to another gear. But some of that stuff with him just driving to the basket, you don't see him getting there as often as he does. But if he's hitting his 3, that he needs that to kind of open everything else up. That's when really things change, when he started making his shot. So I think you'll see the same guy. Especially if they put Dellavedova on him, right? That'll really wake him up. But I think, you know, everybody's saying if we had Kyrie, you know, the Cavs would have won. I think Steph hears that, and he's going to want to show up for sure.
I think Steph would have gone for 50.
His shot has to be making. He has to be making a shot in order for all that stuff to work.
Okay, we've got Marcus Thompson of the Bay Area News Group joining us. I want to get just your overall prediction of the series. How do you think it plays out? How many games? Who ends up winning? Obviously, game one tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Mountain Time, 6 o'clock Pacific.
You know, I got the Warriors winning in six because I think LeBron is good enough to get them a game. And then I think the Cavaliers are better, and the Warriors are going to be tired. And for me, that gets you another game. But I just feel like come game, when you get to start getting game four, game five, the Warriors' MO is to figure a series out. Once they figure it out, we've seen that they're really tough to beat. So if the Cavs, I think they could get one of these first two games, especially game one, because the Warriors have got to be tired, right? And now's the time to strike. So if they take game one, I think that's their best chance to catch the Warriors kind of off guard. But we've seen the Warriors. I know if they can win Oklahoma City, they can win in Cleveland. So I still believe they're going to win a game in Cleveland. That's a guarantee. Every series Steph Curry has ever played in, he's won a road game. So that's 10 straight or 11 straight, I think. So no reason to think it's not going to happen again, which means Cleveland needs to win two in Oracle. The Thunder couldn't do it, so I just don't see them doing it. So I'm going to go with Warriors in six just because they'll figure it out at some point.
All right. That's Marcus Thompson, Bay Area News Group, joining us. Thanks again, Marcus, for being on the show today.
So my tickets to Warren G, where they at?
Hey.
Email them.
I got them right for you. Just meet me in front of the
building.
On the
guest list.
Gotcha.
All right, I got you.